That was the music of Qawwal Najmuddin Saifuddin and Brothers from Pakistan, who are in residence this week at the Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. And they are going to be giving a public concert tonight at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center at tomorrow night. Sorry, I got the wrong night. What is today? Today's only the 26th. Tomorrow night, the 27th, 7:30 p.m. at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center. And obviously, as you could just hear, we are pleased to have them live in our studio on Live and Local today. And I just learned a few minutes ago that the names that are in the name of the group, Najmuddin and Saifuddin, are actually the names of two of the brothers. And the rest of the brothers don't get named for somehow. They just get called and brothers. So there's five brothers in this seven-person group, and then a cousin and a nephew. This music has been in their family for a very long time. Music that has a very clear religious origin and intent, and I want to give them the chance to talk about it a little bit. But first of all, thanks very much for coming, and welcome to the our station and to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us here.
Well, it's a pleasure. I've had some classical Indian music in here a number of times, so we've certainly not had music that is specifically devotional, and not necessarily from Pakistan either, although I understand the music originated in various places in Southeast Asia. So maybe you could talk about that for a little bit.
The music we just sing in front of you, it is a Qawwali singing. It's named Qawwali. Qawwali literally means the utterance and saying of someone spiritual. It may be God, prophet, or any other soul, holy, and other saints, persons. And it was invented by a musical genius and a Sufi saints in 13th century. His name was Amir Khusro. His spiritual leader, Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya, ordered him and said to him that, Khusro, do you see that the music is a part of the music in India of Hindus and other religious religions? So you should work on it and invent a new form of music in which general people could come into and see the singers also. So at that time, before invention of Qawwali, there was a recitation and repetition of verses. It was named as Sama at that time, and it was strictly related to the spiritual and devotional gatherings at the time. So Khusro took that Sama and merged it with Arabic, Persian, and Turkish style of music and singing, and named this new form of singing as Qawwali. Qawwali, as I said, it means saying an utterance of someone, and the person who recites the verses or phrases or repeats the song continuously or sing the song, he is named as Qawwal. So Khusro took 12 youngsters of beautiful voices and banded together them and trained them to start Qawwali singing in 13th century. And that band or group was named as Qawwal Bacche, or else Qawwal Sons, the singer sons. That group started Qawwali singing and it's our honor and it's our privilege that we have this Qawwali tradition and heritage in our family since then up till now, of almost 750 years without any break in the lineage.
Within your own family?
Within our family. And we are the oldest Qawwali family family who are singing this Qawwali since then up till now.
So each of the Qawwal or Qawl, and you said a saying or an utterance of could be a prophet, could be perhaps of Allah or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. Right. It may be because sometimes we use the phrases or verses from Quran. Sometimes we use the phrases of sayings of God, of our prophet. And sometimes we use the sayings of other saints and holy personalities. and sometimes we use the saying of normal general people. It's not strictly the religious thing that we should only take the verses from the Quran or the saying of our prophet.
So what type of song did you begin with?
We start with the devotional song, and it's the general practice and common practice in Pakistan that we should start the Qawwali gatherings from that song. And that song is based on a hadith, the saying of our prophet. It means, to whom I am be the guide and helper, Ali will also be the guide and helper of those. That's the meaning of that particular song. And we should start our Qawwali singing from this song.
Did this musical tradition begin in a religious setting?
Yeah.
Or did it begin as entertainment?
No, it was begin in a religious setting. And at that time, when it was invented and it started in 13th century, it was strictly for the spiritual gatherings or devotional gatherings by the devotees of a particular spiritual leader. But later on, the spiritual leader thinks that as it was invented and intended to go for the public also, so they modified and diversified the Qawwali music. And from 200 years back or 300 years back, modified and diversified, and the general public people are allowed to come into the public gatherings. And nowadays in Pakistan especially, and in India, Qawwali can be can be performed for general public in public gatherings, in ceremonial occasions, and in public concerts, as well as it can be performed at the tomb or shrines of any holy saints or any holy personality.
And of course, tomorrow in Charleston, you'll be doing it in a concert setting.
Yes, yes. That's why.
Is that unusual or not anymore?
No, it's a usual thing in Pakistan also, because we do both the things in Pakistan. We also perform for the public, and I also went to the shrines and tombs of the holy personalities there. We do both the things in Pakistan.
So that doesn't mean that it has lost its religious significance.
No, because it did not lost its religious significance, because Qawwali was made for solely purpose or devotional purpose. Normally, in the general public, when we go for the general public and public gatherings, the public mainly are of the of any spiritual heritage or any spiritual clan. They are mostly the devotees of spiritual leader. Apart from, they are the general public, but they are mostly are the devotees of a spiritual leader.
So when I imagine by now it's no longer awkward or odd, but it almost seems awkward or odd to me to have come into the room and say, well, can you just start with something short? And I'm saying, just start with some piece of music that's short. And you have to, I would imagine, decide, well, what type will it be? And get into a almost devotional mood. How easy is that to do?
It's not hard. It's not hard, because we normally use the devotional songs. They are based on the love to the God or any holy personality. That's why. And before starting, we just tried to have this thing started in our soul also. We tried to start with our soul and put our spirit on it, so that it maybe it should become a devotional thing for us first, and for the audience secondly.
Since this is a radio program, of course, the folks listening can't see what this even looks like in the room, or what you're doing when you're singing, but. Those of you singing, whoever was singing at the time, was also involving hand gestures. And it almost seemed, I don't understand what you're singing, but it seemed like you were trying to teach me something.
Yeah.
With some of these gestures.
Yes, yes.
Is there some truth to that?
Yes, yes. We because lifting our hand and with the motion of our hands and with the giving the impression of what we are singing, we are trying to communicate the thing to the audiences or to those, and as well as to those who are listening us on their radios or seeing us on their televisions. Whenever we go for the television recording, we do the same thing for the qawwali singing. We use our hands and give the impression to the public that they couldn't easily understand the wordings what we are going to sing or what we are singing at that moment.
Do you ever in concert programs put the words of the songs or yeah. translations of the songs?
Yeah, yeah. Normally, whenever we went to abroad in from Pakistan, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, and also here in the U.S., we first send the translation to the our organizers so that they could distribute that translation in the public. So they could easily understand what we are singing now.
You know, I might be making this a little bit difficult for myself conceptually here because, of course, in the Western musical tradition, there's lots and lots of sacred music that is sung in concert settings. And I wonder if this is necessarily any different from that, you know, all the music that comes from the Catholic tradition or other elements of the Christian tradition. You know, I'm a choral conductor, and, you know, we certainly, in a university setting, you might do a mix of secular and sacred music. But yours is, this is, when you put on a program, yours is strictly sacred. Or not always?
We normally use the sacred music, but in some programs, just as we will do tomorrow, that's a concert. We use the other things also for qawwali singing, the other songs just as folk song from our country and some other light music song. For qawwali singing, we use those things also, apart from the sacred. And we also use these ceremonial songs because today is Eid for us, our Muslims. Today is the Eid
Begins
day.
Begins today.
The celebration day. So we use the celebrating songs and the ceremonial songs also for the qawwali concerts.
Could we hear a bit more? Another song. Do you call it, each of these is called a song? It might be 3 minutes, it might be 15 minutes, or
yeah.
I read somewhere that the longest recorded one was something like 2 hours long.
Yeah, yeah. We could sing a
we
song.
We don't have 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah. We could say a song, it may be a short one for 3 or 4 minutes, or it may be go long for 2 or 3 hours continuously. But it depends on the occasion. And the audience, what they are, who they are, and what they want from us to sing. Sometimes they want us to continuously repeat that particular phrase so that they could have the inspiration from it. And they could go for the trance. Sometimes they insist us to repeat a particular phrase continuously for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes. But it depends on, as I said, it depends on the mood of the audience, what they want from us. And sometimes we can sing a shortest song of 3 or 4 or 5 minutes maximum. That's the thing.
Well, how about we hear something else now? You can decide what it should be. And my guests on Live and Local today are Qawwal Najmuddin Saifuddin and Brothers. That's the name of two of them, plus 3 other brothers and 2 other relations in this ensemble of 7. From Pakistan. They're at Eastern Illinois University this week, and they'll be performing a public concert tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Dowd and Fine Arts Center in Charleston. Very pleased to have them here. And then after this song, I want to ask you a little bit about the music itself and how it's structured and so on.
Okay. Now we are going to sing a short for you. It's a ceremonial song, and it's related to Eid.
Eid, which is the celebration which begins today,
just today
in the Muslim faith.
Yes. And it was the poet of this song was that particular person who invented the qawwali, Amir Khusro.
The original guy himself.
Yeah.
Music here live in our studio on Live and Local by Kaval Najmuddin Saifuddin and Brothers from Pakistan. They're going to be at the Downa Fine Arts Center in Charleston, Eastern Illinois University, tomorrow night with a concert at 7:30. Very pleased to have them on the show today. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois. Now featuring new exhibits entitled America's Musical Past, Shenanigans, Hootenannies, and Other Twisted Adventures. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. We heard a little bit about the history of this music, this style of music, and also of the family origins for this particular ensemble. And I'm actually looking at the T-shirt that one of you guys is wearing, Ustad Kaval Bahauddin Sons. Is that you all as well? Was that
And
now Ustad you have your own, your new band, or so to speak.
Ustad Kaval Bahauddin was our father. We get training from him. Of this Kavali, and he was our father apart from the teacher, and we were I started working with her for the Kavali singing in 1984, and till his death in 2006 we all were with him. However, he allowed us to perform on our own by our own name in 1993, and since then up till his death we were going for our performances also as Kaval Najmuddin Saifuddin, as well as working with him also with his group members.
And is this tradition typically passed down within families or not necessarily?
Not necessarily now, but up till last century. And that means almost for 650 years, it was strictly passed on through the families. And as I said to you that there were 12 youngsters which were trained by Amir Khusro and who started Qawwali singing in 13th century. Slowly and gradually, the clan and the descendant of the 11 others were merged with our family. And now we have the only one family of who remains from a start up till now. And we have this thing in our family, while other 11 are diminished or they were merged with our family.
Sorry for interrupting you.
Nowadays, Qawwali is... is going to be by the other families also, but they are not so old. They are just one or two generation who are doing the Qawwali in Pakistan and India, and we are the only family we have this thing from start and up till now.
Have instruments always been involved with the singing since the beginning?
Yeah, from the start and up till now, instruments were involved. In the start, a sitar or sarangi and tambura were used.
And tambura is a type of drum?
No, it's a string instrument.
A string instrument.
It has four strings on it, and the sitar has seven strings on it.
That's the one that most Americans will be familiar with.
Yeah, and this is the tabla. It was invented by the same at that same time. In 13th century, since then it is used in Qawwali. But in the 18th century, someone says that harmonia was invented by Germans, and some says it was invented by Britishers. They invented this harmonium, and it is a combination of piano and accordion. The keys from the piano and bellow from the accordion. And the inventors took those two things and merged them to form this new one. And because it is very easy to use in Qawwali singing, we can play different tunes at a time on it. However, for sitar, we have to tune it up for another new tune. We have to set the sitar each time for the new tune or the tambura for the next tune, because in qawwali we use different ragas, different variation of music, of musical notes, which are very easy to perform on the sitar. But on the same time, if we use the different notes, the sharp and the light ones or the medium ones, it could not be easily performed at the same time on the different tunes, different set of tunes, which in our Pakistan and India, we say the raga, the rags. But it is, they are very easy to play on this harmonium. So when it was invented in 18th century, it was then transferred to India and Pakistan at that time by Britishers. And since then, it is now used in qawwali. So this is the part of qawwali essential: harmonium, tabla, dholak, and nal. These four instruments are essential for qawwali singing. We can use all the other instruments also, but they are not the essential ones.
So the harmonium, those, I mean, again, we're in a radio show and not on TV, so you can't actually see this instrument. Anybody who has a grandmother or grandfather may have seen a harmonium-like instrument in the parlor. It looks like it's a pump organ. You know, it's an organ where people pump the pedal. Now, that's not what we have here, but it's sort of the similar principle where you have a very short keyboard, and it's sitting on the floor, and then the two gentlemen who are playing are sort of pulling the bellows periodically in between hand gestures, and then pull the bellows, and they're singing at the same time. And so it's providing the chords and some of the melodic content. I mean, you start playing a melodic figure on the harmonium, and then I notice the voices take that up immediately.
Yes.
And then the tabla you mentioned is the one of the five brothers here playing the tabla. Now there's two drums, but then you have a third drum. What's the difference? What is that drum? You go ahead and demonstrate a little bit, and feel free to.
I informed you, but I did not mention you, described you. This is dholak. It has rope.
Dholak. Yeah.
It has rope with iron rings on one side, and iron rod and bolts on the other side. When we have to fix it, we use the iron rings for the one side, and the other side we have to fix with the bolts.
So this one is sort of played on the lap sideways, which is laying across your lap.
Yeah.
And you heard the sound of it. The tabla is a brighter, sharper sound with two different drums. Play a little bit just so people recognize the sound, since of course they can't see the.
This is tabla.
All right, so the high pitched one is the tabla, and then the other drum has a slightly different pitch.
Yeah, it is.
Very different pitch, yeah.
We have two tablas different for different pitches. We use two tablas for different pitches.
So now he's combining one of the tabla with the dholak.
Dholak.
And then we have the cousin of the brothers.
Yeah.
Who, I'm sorry, I don't know everybody's name here, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have two different drums.
Yeah.
Is one of these also... What are these two?
These are nulls.
Both of them null.
Yeah. They have the iron rods and the bolts on both the side.
And they sound like?
They are a little bit different from dholak. Their sound are little bit... play? See that?
So obviously two same instrument, each of those is the same instrument, but a very different sound, tuned differently.
Yeah.
Does each of these drums perform a different role then in the music?
No, they are combinedly used. They do not perform any different role. Sometimes we use them separately for any purpose, but normally we use them combinedly. Not separately for any other thing.
So together they provide the rhythmic underpinning.
Yeah.
Here's the harmonic underpinning from the harmonium.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about the different types of voices.
Yeah.
Maybe after your next song. I understand that love songs are important in this tradition as well.
Okay.
Is that true?
Yeah. Because, as I said, the Qawwali was started and made for the devotional purpose. So most of the song we use the sacred song for the Qawwali. They are based on the love to the Divine One, the God. And wherever we use the word, my best friend, oh my beloved one, oh my friend, they are all mean to the God. They are not for any human being. Mm. They are for the just for the God.
So this is sort of love for God as opposed to devotion to God.
Yes.
Or praise of God.
Yes.
But they're all in some relation to God.
Yeah.
Or utterance of a prophet, but still in praise to,
yes,
in praise,
yes,
to God, or in, yes, this case, the love. Do we have one of those? We,
yes,
could perhaps
yes,
share?
Yes.
This is Qawwal Najmuddin, Saifuddin, and Brothers, who are going to be performing tomorrow night at the Dalton Fine Arts Center in Charleston, and they're with us live today here on Live and Local.
Starting the song, let me give you the translation of it. It means, I see my friend everywhere in the world. Sometime he hides from my eyes, and sometime he is just in front of me. As you see, these words, in behind of these words, there is a love to the God. Oh,
That I've never heard a love song sound like that. Because, of course, usually we think of love songs, as you said, to, you know, from one person to another.
Yeah.
And they usually tend to be sort of, if not sad sounding, at least very sentimental sounding. This is a love song to the God, to Allah. Certainly not sentimental sounding, you know, very lively. And to watch you guys singing this, it's ecstatic.
If you want the sad or sentimental song, we can sing
that. Oh, you have those too?
Yeah, yeah.
But
because it's worth mentioning that we can sing a lot of song and in various languages, and more than 10,000 songs we can sing.
More than 10,000 songs?
Yeah,
you know?
We can sing. Because
really?
We can sing, and as I said, in various languages. In Arabic, in Arabic, Urdu, in Persian, in Punjabi, Sindhi, or Hindi, Sanskrit, Bhasha, various languages.
Do you ever sing any in English?
We are now working on it.
You're working on it.
And maybe sometime you will have that song on air.
Next time you come through. This is Kaval Najmuddin Saifuddin and Brothers. This is the name of the group that are performing. Well, they've been in residence all week at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. They'll be giving a public concert tomorrow night at 7:30 and are live with us here on Live and Local. Let me mention before we talk more and have a little bit more music that on our Prairie Performances program tonight at 7 o'clock here on FM 90.9, it's going to be a broadcast of a concert that the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana did in June of this year. It was an evening of Handel and Purcell, Chester always conducting. So there's an organ concerto by Handel, also an anthem of his, and the wonderful Hail Bright Cecilia by Henry Purcell with the Bach Chorus and Orchestra. That's going to be broadcast tonight at 7 o'clock on Prairie Performances, hosted by Roger Cooper here on FM 90.9. Our fall pledge drive concluded with outstanding support from our listeners. You raised more than $107,000 for Illinois Public Media, and specifically for the WYLL AM and FM stations. Thanks to the 758 listeners who supported us during the drive, and to our sustainers, underwriters, and friends as well. It's your continued support that helps us maintain programs such as Live and Local. It is greatly appreciated, and we thank you very much. You can always make a contribution to WYLL. You don't have to wait for the next pledge drive. You can do it at willpledge.org, WYLLpledge.org. I wanted to ask about the role of the different singers that you have here. I mean, there are, it appears to me to be five of you singing, two playing drums, five singing, two of the singers playing the harmonium. And you seem to trade off on who's taking a lead singing role, but that others seem to be mostly singing, do you call them side singers?
Yeah.
Talk about the different singers and how this all works.
Normally we have this, as you see that I am the lead singer or leader of this group. I am the leader of this group. I start with the song, and two guys plays. They play harmonium apart from the singing. They are the harmonium players and the vocal singers apart from me. And we have two side singers. And however, we have right now we have one side singer. And the other side singer we normally have in Pakistan. He's performing the rhythm right now. He's my brother. He's performing rhythm. However, he is a side singer in Pakistan. And we have a chorus singer, as you see. Chorus singer. He is a chorus singer. My nephew is chorus singer. And we have other, apart from my brother, who is playing the rhythm right now. We have another rhythm player. We are seven, but in Pakistan we have a group of 12 persons.
All and, of you related as well.
All of them are related with us, and two harmonium player, a lead singer, two side singer. They're in Pakistan. I'm giving you the information about the group in Pakistan. One lead singer, two harmonium player, two side singers, two rhythm players, and five chorus singers.
So when you have a chorus singer, is it in sort of the Western sense of choral singing, where they provide extra harmony and fill out the sound underneath the melody?
Yes. That's that same thing the chorus singer do in Pakistan. They repeat the song, they repeat the phrases or verses we are performing, we are singing. They repeat and join with us their voices, and also they clap with us to give the harmony with the rhythm we use.
So the side singers at times do take on the melodic role.
Yeah.
So that's when I said, you know, it appears that different people are taking the lead. Yeah. It's a momentary lead, and then they give it back to you eventually.
It's worth mentioning that we have this pride, and it's an honor that our father, apart from giving the training of qawwali singing, he make us leader of the group. And we are five brothers, and any one of us can perform as a leader of the group.
So in different places, you
normally
would take
turns. Yeah, sometimes I may not go somewhere in Pakistan or any other place, or else sometimes my second brother, we do not go somewhere, then at that time, any one of three other brothers, they can lead the group, and they do the thing as we are doing here. Because I am apart from a qawwali singer, I am a finance person. I am working in a company.
A what person?
I am a finance person. I am working with a company as an accountant in Pakistan. So sometime I have to do my official work, my company work. That's why I could not go for the qawwali performance. And at that time, any one of these three, they come forward and lead the group instead of me.
So if you weren't here, they would be talking to me during this radio program.
Yeah.
So whoever's the lead singer also takes the lead in a radio interview.
Yeah.
Apparently. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, delighted to be sharing this music, this qawwali music, with you here, which is music that I have probably experienced without knowing it, you know, in some recorded form or another. But we're very pleased to have you all live here on the program. They are here, by the way, as part of Arts Midwest World Fest, and it's their only Illinois performance is at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. So it's very nice of you guys to have that opportunity. Well, now I'm intrigued because you said if we wanted something that's more sentimental or you might have something like that. So I'm very curious to know what that might be.
Okay.
Aja.
So that one was, what sort of song?
That's a sentimental, sad song. And it was saying that, oh my beloved one, oh my lover, please come to me fast. I am waiting you. I want to see you. And since long you have not come to me, so please come fast. Before that, I will die. That's the meaning of this song.
So that one's still directed to the God.
Yeah.
To the divine. And not might it be sung at the point where one is dying or not?
No, it's not dying, but it's giving the impression and inspiration that that the lover want to see his beloved one. And he is waiting for that beloved one to come.
And needs renewed contact in some form or another.
Yeah.
It's Kaval Najmuddin Saifuddin and Brothers from Pakistan who are with us here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And it's been a great privilege to get a chance to hear you all share in your music a bit. I, of course, don't understand the languages you're singing, but I do understand the language of music, I think. And I'm privileged to be able to see you perform. I hope that our radio audience has enjoyed hearing. And you can go see them tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Dowd and Fine Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston for a public concert. They've been there all week in residency at the university. And this has really been a treat. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Support for WYLL today comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana. With wine, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer, wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. And here are some other events you can see and hear live in our listening area over this weekend. The Royal Drummers and Dancers of Burundi will be performing twice in our area tonight at 8 o'clock at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois at Springfield, and then tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. Eastern Illinois University Opera Ensemble and Music Theater presenting Mozart's Women, an evening of opera scenes at the Dowd and Fine Arts Center in Charleston. 7:30 tonight. The Illinois College Wind Ensemble and Jazz Band giving a concert at Remmelkamp Chapel in Jacksonville. That's tonight at 7:30. Matt and Tom Torino are at Bouvon's in Urbana this evening at 6:30. Millikan University's percussion ensembles give a Halloween concert at the Albert Taylor Theater in Decatur tonight at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. It's Neil Corwell in a guest euphonium recital on the Millikan campus in Decatur at Kuiper Hall. That was this afternoon. Skip that. It's George Winston at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts tonight at 7:30. Ray Wiley Hubbard and Dustin Welch are at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield tonight at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow is the Heartland Festival Orchestra, a program called Eroica at Five Points, Washington. 7:30, tomorrow night's concert. Pianist Ian Hobson presents another in his series of Johannes Brahms instrumental music with piano. That'll be at Smith Memorial Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7:30. Illinois State University faculty recital by cellist Adriana Ransom will be at Kemp Recital Hall in Normal on the ISU campus. That's tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. Millikan University's Jazz Band 1 will be at Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Decatur tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. It's the Aduki Trio at White Oak Vineyards in Carlock tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Fiddler on the Roof is at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts tomorrow night at 7:30. Reverend Robert is at... I don't have all the details. It just says Jackson Avenue in Charleston, 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. I'm sorry, I don't have more information than that. Eastern Illinois University Symphony Orchestra giving its annual Fright Night concert at the Dowd and Fine Arts Center in Charleston, Sunday afternoon at 6 o'clock. It's Illinois Wesleyan University's Fall Choral Concert at Second Presbyterian Church in Bloomington, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. The Parkland College Concert Band and Wind Ensemble Fall Concert at Parkland Theater in Champaign, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Illinois State University Symphony Orchestra at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts in Normal, Sunday. Also, that is at 3 o'clock. Millikan University Fall Choral Concert at Central Christian Church in Decatur, 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, and repeat at 4 o'clock Sunday. And the Cornstalkers Cajun Band are at the Iron Post in Urbana Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Finally, the Illinois Brass Quintet giving their annual Halloween Spooktacular at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Urbana. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville and NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Yeah.